Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Pei Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph at the Mishnah at the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Kosev L'garish Es Ishtoi, if somebody wrote a get to divorce his wife, V'nimlach, and then he reconsidered, Beishama Oimrim Paisel Menekuna. Beishama says that even though he changed his mind, once he wrote a get for his wife, if this woman may not marry a kohen. And Mefarshim give many reasons why Beis Shammai takes this stringent opinion. Some Mefarshim explain, some Rishonim explain, the Meiri, that we learned earlier in our Masechta, the concept of Reach HaGet, that sometimes we have something which is not really a halachically valid get, but it has a Reach HaGet, that has the scent of a get, that Beis Shammai considers that to be considered a get, and therefore according to Beis Shammai, this get should not be used. Others explain the Tosfos Yontif, because as we're learning now, this woman will be disqualified from marrying a Kohen, we are extremely careful regarding the Yichus of a Kohen, explains the Tosfos Yontif, and that's why the Mishnah Paskins that such a woman, according to Beis Shammai, cannot marry a kohen again. And yet another pshat goes back to something that we discussed the other day, and that is at the end of the Masechta we're going to learn a machloikis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, under what circumstances may a husband divorce his wife. Beis Shammai says only if matzah ba'er v'stavar, if he found that she acted inappropriately. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, holds afilu gdir tashiloi, even if she burned to supper. So according to Beis Shammai, if a woman is being divorced by her husband, if they already got to this point that he wrote for her a get, it must be that matzah ba'er v'stavar, that he has found that she has acted inappropriately. And therefore, says Beis Shammai, that such a woman becomes disqualified from marrying a kohen. However, Beis Hillel disagree. Even if he gave a get to a woman based on a condition, and the stipulation has not been fulfilled, so the get is not considered a get, and therefore she does not become disqualified from the kahuna. There are mefarshim that want to suggest that according to Beis Hillel there will be a nafkamina between a condition which is in her power to fulfill versus a condition which is not in her power to fulfill. However, the Mefarshim, most Mefarshim say the Beis Hillel makes a blanket statement that all conditions, as long as the condition has not been fulfilled, so we don't have a get here, and therefore the woman is not considered divorced. The Mefarshim bring a very nice raya to the opinion of Beis Hillel from a Gemara in Masechta Yuma. The Gemara Masechta Yuma discusses that a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, it's very important that he have a wife. As the Pasuk says, V'chiper be'adoi u'be'ad be'isoi, be'isoi zu ishtoi. And the concern that the Gemara discusses is that perhaps if the Kohen Gadol has a wife, and that wife will pass away on Yom Kippur, he will be left without a wife. So the Gemara says, he should marry another woman. But the Gemara says that that brings with it another set of issues, because the halacha is that a kohen gadol is only supposed to have one wife. So Gemara says that he has these two wives, but he gives them a get on condition. If one should pass away, then the other one becomes his wife. As so we clearly see that these women are considered the kohen's wife, even though they received a get on al tanai, clearly corroborating Beis Hillel's opinion that a get al tanai does not disqualify a woman from being a kohen's wife. So the Mefarshim ask, and how will Beis Shammai explain that Gemara? So I saw two answers. One answer is that the Chasam Sofer says that even Beis Shammai agrees that when there is no other option besides this, that a condition, a get written al-tanai, would not disqualify disqualify a woman, b'di'eved, from being married to a kohen. But another explanation goes back to what we discussed at the beginning of our shiur. We said that why does Beis Shammai take such a strong position about a get, that even if the get was just written for a kohen's wife, and they haven't gotten divorced, or the condition hasn't been fulfilled, and therefore they're not considered divorced, does Beis Shammai say that the woman already becomes disqualified from marrying a kohen? So he said, because according to Beis Shammai, a woman doesn't get divorced, a husband doesn't write a divorce for his wife, unless kimatz ba'erves dover. And therefore, it's inappropriate that a woman who we have found acting immorally should be remain permitted to marrying a kohen. That certainly, however, explains the Mefarshim, is not the case regarding these women who are married or who are married to the kohen gadol on Erev Yom Kippur. The get that was written for them is not because chas v'sholem kimotzuba erves dover. On the contrary, these are women who are very worthy of being the wives of the kohen gadol. Rather, it's as we explained, because there's a concern that the kohen gadol should not be left without a wife. If so, when does, so now we could understand Beis Shammai's opinion. Only in a situation where we have a concern that the woman acted inappropriately does Beis Shammai make his strong statement that such a woman should not remain with the kohen. Otherwise, not remain permitted to a kohen. Otherwise, Beis Shammai will agree to the opinion of Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara, Sholach le Rabbi Yosef Bered, Rabbi Menashe, Medvil Shmuel. Yotzalav kol. A word has gone out about a certain man that ish ploin ni kosev get lishtai, that this specific person has written a get for his wife. However, v'yeshevas tachtav umisham shemai, she's still living with him, even though he's a kohen, and a kohen may not live with a woman that he divorced. Mahu, do we have to separate these people so we should to avoid people from believing and saying that a person can marry a woman that he divorced, a kohen, or do we not have to? Shalach lei, so Shmuel sent back, Teitze, she has to leave the husband, v'adav etzarek b'dika. However, it requires investigation. And the Bach points out that the wording of the Gemara is somewhat difficult. If adav etzarek b'dika, if it requires investigation, shouldn't we do the investigation and then make the decision? What's the point of doing the investigation if we're going to anyway require him to separate himself? And therefore, the Taz explains that indeed the halacha would be that first, David Tzarech Pedika, first we do the investigation, and if indeed there is such a rumor, Teitzei, they have to separate. Maihi. Ask the Gemara, what is the point of this investigation? Ilema, if you'll say that Dima Vatlina Kala Lema Vatlina, there is a halachic discussion that do we have the ability to nullify a rumor or not? Says the Gemara, for Nador Asri the Shmulhu, Nador was the place where Shmuel was the Rav, Umanador Lema Vatli Kala, and Nador, they followed the rule that you can't void a rumor. There's a machlokes harishonim, how to understand this concept. Some rishonim say that when the Gemara says here you can't void a rumor, but the Gemara says halachically, there was a halachic dispute if one is able to void a rumor or not. Others explain that really is not specifically a halachic debate, but rather it's a question of custom. In some places they had the minig that they voided rumors, and other places that they never have such a rumor. Ella, says the Gemara, what we have to investigate is Ikara l'nesina ksiva. If we're in this place, when somebody uses the word ksiva, what does that mean? Does it mean specifically writing, or does it mean giving? So if in this place, when they use the word kosav, it means, it could mean nosan, it could mean he gave a get, that's why then we can't let this couple stay together. However, if in this place, when the word kosav is used, it means specifically writing and nothing else, then they could stay together because all he did was write. Ask the Gemara, even if in such a place, Karilin, the Chikarilin is seen in the Ksiva, even if when they use the word Ksiva, it could include Nesina, it also certainly can include Ksiva, just writing. L'ksiva gufa mi l'karla ksiva, when a get was just written, the word ksiva is also used. So why do we require them to separate? Why don't we say when the word ksiva was used, it meant that the get was written, but it doesn't mean that it was actually given? Says the Gemara, in. I migaya milsa, the karla and the sina ksiva. If we will identify that in this place, when the word ksiva is used, it might mean that it was given. Dilma nosan kamri. So when he says that he wrote get, it meant that he gave the get. And taitse. And she has to leave. Why? Because, again, of the concern that people should not come to believe that a kohen could remarry his divorcee. Ask the Gemara of Aramar of Ashi, kol the boss in the suan, lechshinalai. That if a couple got married, even if there's a rumor about the status that this was a forbidden marriage, once the marriage took place, that we don't make them separate. So why does Shmuel say that we don't allow this woman to marry with the kohen who was her husband because of a rumor that perhaps he divorced her and then took her back, which a kohen may not do? Says the Gemara, my taitse nami, what does the Gemara mean when it says that she has to leave? Taitse misheni. It means that if the first kohen will die, that means we don't make her leave this husband. So to explain carefully, what that means is if there was a rumor that the first husband who was a kohen divorced her, and now we see that they're married, we do not break that marriage. Rather, we assume that he never really divorced her. And therefore, we don't have a situation of a kohen taking back his divorcee. What the Shmuel was saying was, however, if this first husband should chas v'shalom die, this woman, we will not allow her to marry another kohen. Because since there's a rumor that she's a divorcee, and a grusha may not marry a kohen. Says the Gemara, if we're paying credence to this rumor, to the degree that when the first kohen passes away, we don't allow her to marry another kohen, so im ken at the mitzi lans abon of sharishin, we will be causing the people will say that the children that were born between her and the first kohen must have been chalolim, must be disqualified to be kohanim. Because if we are assuming that she's a divorcee to the degree that we're not allowing her to marry another kohen, so then the first kohen should not have been married to her. And if they were married and they did have children, those children are chalolim, disqualified from the kohuna. Answers the Gemara, kiven the mishenu the mafkinala. Since it's only from the second kohen that we would not allow her to marry him, or even if she marries him, we have to separate them. However, or marisha loy mafkinala, but we never forced her to separate herself from the kohen, her first husband. Us lameima, we won't be concerned. We won't come to say that the children are chalolim. Rather, what will happen was, people will say, Samach Lamisa Garsha. When did the first kohen divorce her? Right before he died. So all the children that were born, what children were born, that were born before they ever got divorced, and therefore those children are certainly not chalolim. But we don't allow them to marry the second kohen, because we say that their get was given right before the first kohen dies, which doesn't affect the status of the children from the first kohen. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Yehuda Baloi. Let's see the tremendous difference between the children of the first of the people of the earlier generations versus people of later generations. Doyrus Rishonim Beishamai. Who do we mean when we speak about earlier generations? Beishamai. who we learned in the Mishnah, how careful they were, that as soon as a get was just written, they said that that woman may never marry a kohen. Daras achronim, who does the Gemara mean when it speaks about later generations? It means Reb Doisa, the Tanya. What was Reb Doisa's psak? Reb Doisa said, Shvuya chelos b'truma, a woman who was kidnapped by Akum may continue eating truma, divrei Reb Doisa. That is the opinion of Reb Doisa. Even though a kohen's wife, a daughter, may no longer eat truma if she had relations with another man, because she becomes a zoina, or if she has relations with a man that she may not marry, such as a non-Jew, she becomes disqualified for eating truma. Reb Doisa was not concerned that this woman, this Bas Kayin or Ashes Kayin, who was kidnapped by the Akum, had such improper relationships. Because Amar Reb Doisa, Reb Doisa's approach was, why are we concerned that this Arab captive did to her? Maybe if he just touched her by her breast, are we going to assume that she did something wrong? And that's why Reb Doisa is lenient and allows her to continue eating truma. And the halachic basis for Reb Doisa's psak, explained the Mefarshim, is because Reb Doisa says that every woman has a cheskes kashrus, and therefore we could rely on the cheskes kashrus. Furthermore, as we've learned, women, properly behaved Jewish women, would be careful to make sure that they should make themselves ugly in the eyes of their captors in order that the captors should not do anything inappropriate with them. However, the Rishonim do say, even though, as we're learning now in the Gemara, Reb Doisa takes this lenient approach regarding a woman who was captured, it's only regarding Truma Derabonim. Regarding Truma Deraisa, Reb Doisa will agree, say the Rishonim, that such a woman may not continue eating Truma Deraisa. The Mefarshim also ask, our Gemara is trying to point out the difference between the earlier generations and the later generations, where we see Reb Doisa taking this lenient opinion versus Beis Shammai, who took the more stringent opinion in our Mishnah. As to Chasam Sofer, we have Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel also taking opposing opinions, and they were in the same generation. So Mefarshim answer, in the case of the Mishnah, as we learned in understanding the opinion of Beis Hillel, this woman was really never divorced. There might have been a reich haget, there might have been something that caused them to begin the divorce proceedings. Here, however, in the case of Reb Doisa, we have a woman who was actually kidnapped, and we know that the captors would act very inappropriately. And therefore, the extremes between the difference is much more noticeable between Beis Shammai and Reb Doisa versus Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara further, V'omer Rabbi Babachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Meshum, Rabbi Yehuda Ba'aloi. Ba'ar A, Shloik Adaris, Rishonim Daris Achroinim. Again, we see the difference between the earlier generations and the later generations. Daris Rishonim, the earlier generations, Machnisin, Periseim, Derech Traxman. Midai Raisa, the only time produce is Mechuyiv, that Trumas and Maisers should be removed from them, is if two conditions have been met. They've had miruach, they've been completely completed, their processing, and then they were brought into the home through the front door. That brings a kvius, explains the Megdash Tavit, that brings on it a full-fledged obligation that there's a chi of Trumas and Maisers. And therefore, says the Gemara, in the earlier generations, that was exactly what they did. They would be careful to complete the processing of the produce and then bring it in through the front door. There's machlokes how to explain the word traxman. Some say the word traxman means the front door. Others say traxman means vegetables. Vegetables, everybody would bring in through the front door because vegetables never have a chiv the rice of Meiser. So vegetables, there's no question you can bring through the front door. However, Doris Achroinim, the later generations, Machnisim Perisim Darach Gagos, Darach Kapipos, they would specifically bring the produce into the home through the roof or through the storage yards, not bring them through the front door, Kedela Fatma Meisim and other, in order that they should be parted from Meisim. However, the Rishonim point out that even if they're brought in through the back door, that only allows that they should be eaten achilas arai. And achilas kva, Tosfos says, produce may never be eaten achilas kva if truma meiser wasn't removed from it, even if they were brought in through a back door. There are some rishonim that disagree with that approach, but that is the approach of most rishonim, that if it's brought in through, even if it's brought in not through the front door, only achilas arai is mutter, not achilas kva. Dom Rabbi Yanai, as Rabbi Yanai said, ain't a tevel mischai b'maisa. There is no obligation to take off maisa from tevel at shiur pnei bayis until it's brought in from the front door. Shnemar bi'arti akodesh min abayis. Rabbi Yochanan says, afilu chatzu kavas, even if it's brought into the courtyard, the same halacha would apply. Shnemar va'ochel b'sharecha b'saveyu. I saw an interesting machlokes achroinim. What will be the halacha if somebody brought in the Trumas the Maestris through the back door, and therefore there is no Chiv to take off Trumas the Maestris Medaraisa, and then he took it out and took it back in again through the front door? Will they be Mechuyiv? Will there then be a Chiv Daraisa or not? Dafike Yam wants to suggest that perhaps there would be a chiyuv d'oraisa. However, the Chazon Ish and most poskim disagree, and they say if it was exempt because it was not brought in through the front door, there can never be a chiyuv d'oraisa on this produce. The Yisroch Moshe tries to understand. He says, obviously, the people who lived in the Doros HaAchroinim were people of great people who lived in Doros HaAchroinim. And to go and just say that all those people who lived in the Doros Achroinim did not care to be mechuyev in Trumas and Maestris properly is a very difficult concept to understand. Furthermore, he asks, since as we explained, the Rishonim hold that even by taking the produce in through a back door, you will still be mechuyev midrabanon if you want to eat achilas kva. So what was really their thinking? So the Yisroch Moshe explains. We know that throughout Shas there's a klal. Godol ha-metzuvah v'oyser m'misha en mitzvah v'oyser. Somebody who is commanded to do a mitzvah is on a higher level versus somebody who's not obligated to do a mitzvah. The Doros HaRishonim, and if so, and why, we would think that it's a greater level, that even if somebody who's not obligated to do the mitzvah still does the mitzvah. The answer is, because if somebody's obligated to do a mitzvah, there's a greater yetzer hara preventing him from doing the mitzvah. And that, he explains, is the difference between the earlier generations and the later generations. The earlier generations were prepared to bring themselves to a status where they were obligated to do the mitzvah. And they weren't concerned that the Yetzer Hara, which will now be a greater Yetzer Hara, trying to prevent them from doing the mitzvah, will be able to prevail over them. They were, on the contrary, they were sure that they could overcome the Yetzer Hara. However, the later generations weren't so confident that they could overcome the Yetzer Hara, and therefore, they wanted to leave themselves in the category of mitzvah v'ein oisa, that they're doing a mitzvah that they're not absolutely obligated midaraisa to do, in order that they should not have the yetzer hara, which they weren't certain they could overcome. Says the Mishnah, Hamagarish es isha, if somebody divorces a wife, and he stays with her that night, Beisham in the same inn. Beisham Amr in a tzrichim and a get sheni. We don't need to require a second get. Or Beisela Amr tzrichim and a get sheni. Why? As we're going to learn in the Gemara, because since they're alone together, we're concerned that they had relations. Beisham I however of the opinion that Adam Oisa Bilasa Bilaznus, that even if they had relations, those relations weren't specifically with the intent of them having, of getting married. It was just to have an immoral relation. And Basil, on the other hand, holds, Ain Adam Oisa Bilasa Bilaznus, and we have to assume that they had those relations with the intent of having a Kedushin. However, says the Gemara, even according to Beis Hillel, when does Beis Hillel say they were concerned that they require another get? Because Mashin is Garshim and Nesuin, when the divorce was from Nesuin. However, Moidim and his Garshim and Erisin, that if all they ever had was Erisin, Shein Tzrichim and Get Sheni, that even Beis Hillel will agree that we're not concerned that they had relations to reawaken the marriage. Shein Liba Gaspa, and we're not sure that since they never had relations in the first place, we don't have to be concerned that they had relations again. Rabbi Kiva Eger uses this Mishnah to teach us a halachic principle. He says that the halacha is that a couple is not supposed to get divorced at night. The reason being, because a get is similar to a din Torah, and just like a din Torah is not supposed to take place by night, neither is a get supposed to take place by night. However, says Rikivega, from our Mishnah where we see that Veloni Mabipundaki, that we're concerned that this couple who were together, who were in the same inn that night, were concerned had a new condition, and that's why according to Basil, they require a second get. We see that condition can take place by night. And even though we've learned the yachts of a haisa, that Kedushin are compared to Gittin, explains Rekiv Eger, that's not regarding this halacha. Because since it's not explicit in the Pasuk, the Mefarshim explained, that divorce should not take place by night, it's only something that we learn, as I said, from the halachas of a din Torah. So we don't extrapolate that far to say that just like a get can't take place by night, neither can a kedushin. However, I did see two interesting comments. I did see that some Paiskim want to suggest that a kedushin that's done b'shtar, as we're going to soon learn the first Mishnah Mitzvashem in Masechtas Kedushin, that says that kedushin can be accomplished in three ways: b'kesa, b'shtar, b'ya. Since kedusha shtar are so very similar to a get, so just like a get, we're learning, should not be done at night, so too kedushin shtar should not be done at night. Kedusha kesef, kedusha biya can be done at night. And I saw furthermore from the Shaios HaTshuvos Yehuda Yala that there's specifically a reason to do kedushin at night. At night is a time where things are concealed. Ein habracha mitzuya ela bedover asomim min ayin. We know something that's not done with fanfare, something that's not done that publicly, is less open for ayin hara, is more susceptible for bracha. So here, as we have this couple begin their new life, begin their life of kedushin, we want to bring bracha to this marriage, and therefore it's done quietly in the dark, not at night. Mefarshim also want to suggest that the machloikis of Beis Sham and Beis Hillel, as we've mentioned a number of times, goes back to the basic difference of opinion when and why a couple get divorced. Beis Shammai being of the opinion that a couple only get divorced ki matzah ba'erves tavor, that the wife acted inappropriately. That's why Beis Shammai is not concerned that even if they were left alone, they had relations again. Because the husband has a terrible dislike to his wife, to his former wife, and that's the whole reason he divorced her. On the other hand, Beis Hillel, who has a much broader explanation of when a divorce could take place, and there isn't that specifically such a terrible dislike between the husband and wife, and therefore, according to Beis Hillel, the couple, if they were alone together, we have to be concerned, had relations, and created a second marriage, and that's why Beis Hillel says a second get is required. Amar Rabba Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Machlaikis b'shuruah shenivla. We only have a machlaikis if we saw that this couple had relations. The Beshamai Savri, Adam Isa Bilasa Bilasnos. Beshamai says that even if they had relations, we don't have to be concerned that it was to, in order to affect the Kedushin. We say that it was just to have relations out of wedlock. Beshamai Savri, Ein Adam Isa Bilasa Bilasnos. A person doesn't cohabit for non-marriage purposes, and therefore we have to be concerned that they got remarried. Avaloi Rosh Nivala, if we didn't see that they had relations, the Rakel and Srichim and Getsheni, we don't have to be concerned. No, even Beis Hillel will agree that a second get is not required. And here we learn the concept of Ein Adam Oysa Bilasa Bilasnus according to Beis Hillel. The Paiskim point out a number of very important comments. Number one, they say that of course this entire concept of Ein Adam Oysa Bilasnus is only if there are Edim. Not only if there are Edim, but it has to be a situation that the man and woman are aware that there are two Edim there. Then we could say Ein Adam Oysa Bilasnus Bilasnus. But if they're not aware, or certainly if there are no Edim, there is no concern. Most Rishonim, however, hold that once we apply the concept of the Ein Adam Oysa Bilasa Bilasnus, they're considered fully married. There is a gra that wants to suggest that it's only chash, it's only concern that they're married, but again, most Mefarshim, Rishonim, and Achronim say they're considered fully married. Even though we did not hear the husband, the man, tell the woman, Harei At Mekudeshesli, which is normally essential in order to affect the Kedushin. Here the Mefarshim say that if they had relations, and we're assuming, as the Gemara is now assuming, that the relations were for the purpose of creating a Kedushin, they don't have to, speaking that it's L'shem Kedushin is not necessary. So now we have a very fundamental Machlokes Rishonim. The Rambam quotes the Gaonim, who say that every time we have a situation of Panui Habal Pnuya, where we have a single man and a single woman having relations, and there are Edom that are aware of them having relations, we have to be concerned of Ein Adam Oysa Bilasa Bilasnus. The Rambam and the Ravid and most Rishonim disagree. However, even the Rambam and Ravid who disagree with this opinion of the Goyim, many Rishonim do suggest, would agree that if this woman is not just a situation of Pani Abal Pnuya, a single man and a single woman, but it's a couple who are already engaged, there these Rishonim may agree that we have to be concerned that they had relations for the purpose of having Kedushin. Now the question comes up that if we assume that Ein Adam Oysa Bilasa Bilasnus, what's going to be the halacha if a couple did not have a halachic marriage, they only had a civil marriage, or they're living together as man and wife? Do we have to be concerned with this concern of Ein Adam Oysa Bilasa Bilasnus? So certainly according to the opinion of the Rambam and the other Rishonim that don't agree by Pani Abal Pnuya that we say Ein Adam Oysa Bilasa Bilasnus, we certainly don't have to be concerned by this couple either. However, there are two other opinions that I saw. One opinion says that since this couple, it's a rivash, that says since this couple is living together on a long-term basis as a husband and a wife, perhaps even the Rishonim that only apply the concept of the Ein Adam Oysa Bilasa Bilasnus to the case of our Mishnah, where it was a former wife, may say since they're living together on a long-term basis, we should apply the concept of the Ein Adam Oysa Bilasa Bilasnus. However, Mois Poskim, and that is say that we don't. Because on the contrary, the fact that this couple had only a civil marriage or went through the basis of not having any marriage at all, that is a proof that they're not interested in creating a marriage or certainly a halachically certified marriage, and we don't have to apply that concept of Ein Adam Oysa Bilasa Bilasnus. Furthermore, there's a retvaz that suggests that the only time that if there's another aveira involved in this couple having relations, For example, the woman is a nida. So if a person doesn't care about the aveira of living with a woman who's a nida, certainly he similarly doesn't care about making his bia a bia's nus, and we certainly then don't have to be concerned about in the oidam oisabilosabilos nus. Tanan. As the Gemara, so Rabbi Yochanan explained that our Mishnah, the machlokes beisham beishillel, is only in a case where they saw, the Adam saw that they were nivala. Asked the Gemara Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah on Maidim and his Garshim and Erisin that both Beisilin and Beishamai agree that if there was only Erisin, Shein Tzrichim and Gatsheni, there is no need for another get, Sheinli Begaspa. Because since they weren't that familiar with each other, we don't have to be concerned that they had relations. Asked the Gemara, Vibishrov Shnivla. If our Mishnah is specifically referring to a situation where we know that they had relations, so why Malim and Erisin, Malim and Asuin? What's the difference between Erisin and Asuin? But Erisin also, we know that they had relations, because according to Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, the Mishnah is only referring to situation, to such a situation. So how do we understand the Mishnah? Ella, says the Gemara, Mesnisim Bishloi Lo Shalnivala. Our Mishnah is clearly referring to a situation where we did not see that they had relations. Rabbi Yochanan says that the machloikis is only when we know that they had relations, is omakahai tana, is following the following tana. The tanya omer of Shimon Belozer, lo nechluk b'sham b'es hillel, b'sham b'es hillel don't disagree, al shiroi lo shnivla, in a case where we don't see that they had relations, that she'en etzricha, himene get sheni, that a second get is not required, amal nechluku, when do they disagree? In the case, al shiroi shnivla, when we know that they had relations. Shebeshamay amrim, Beshamay hold, even though we know they had relations, Adam Isa, Bilasai, Bilasnos, or Beshel Imrim, and Adam Isai, Bilasai, Bilasnos. So the Rishonim asked, we learned the Sugya of Get Yoshin. And in the Sugya of Get Yoshin, we explained that we're concerned that if they were together after the Get was written, they had relations. There was no Rosh Nivla, and yet Basil is concerned. So how do we understand that? So the Rishonim explained. That case, the get was never delivered. So there is not such a great separation between the husband and the wife. There is not such a great animosity. They never got divorced. Therefore, Basil is more concerned versus our case where they already got divorced. Says the Gemara, Masnisim the Kimna Beloy Rosh Nivla. Our Mishnah we established is referring to case where we don't have Adam that saw them have relations, but Maika Miflegi. So what is the basis of the Machloikis? Says the Gemara, where the Iki Adi Yichud, Falaki Adi Beya. Beshami Savri, Loyamina Hain Adi Yichud, Hain Adi Beya. We don't automatically say that just because they're Adi Yichud, they must have had Beya also, or base. Hillel Savri, Hainain the Yichud, Hainain the Bia. If there was a Yichud, if we have Adam that there was Yichud, we could safely assume that there was also Bia. Umaydim, Beniskashman Erison, should say Tzricha get Shani, the Kivanain Liba Gaspar, since they're not that so familiar with each other, even though there were Adi Yichud, Loyaminin, Hainain and Bia, even Basilo will agree that just because there are Adi Yichud, we don't automatically assume that there was Bia. Ask the Gemara. So the way we're learning now, Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel differs from our Mishnah's explanation. Because our Mishnah is speaking about a case that they didn't, loy rosh nivla, we didn't see them have relations. And Rabbi Yochanan says that the machlokes is in a case where they did see them have relations. Ask the Gemara, we have a rule that Rabbi Yochanan established. From Rabbi Yochanan, Allah Kastam Mishnah. We always follow a Stam Mishnah. So how could Rabbi Yochanan argue with our Stam Mishnah? And we just finished explaining the Kimnul Masnisa. We finished explaining that our Mishnah is referring to a case below Rosh Nivla. So how could Rabbi Yochanan explain that the Machloikis Beisham Beisil is in a case Shirosh Nivla? And says the Gemara, I'm a Roy Nineveh Levit Rabbi Yochanan. It says Machloikis, what Rabbi Yochanan holds. Does Rabbi Yochanan always follow a Stam Mishnah? And the way the Rishonim explain it is as follows. Certainly, when there is only a Stam Mishnah, or there's a machloek between a Stam Mishnah and another Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan follows the Stam Mishnah. However, if we have a Stam Mishnah, And then we have a braisa, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't necessarily follow the Stam Mishnah. A kohen, as we learned at the beginning of our shir, if he divorces his wife, cannot get back, take her back. Also, sometimes kohanim would get angry at their wives and write a get, and then cannot take them back. Because of that, Chazal started a minute called get mekusha. In this type of get, after each line or two that is written, they're folded over onto blank space, which is then sewn down, and then on the outside of each fold, different Adam sign. We have to have a minimum of three folds, and three Adam, that it should be considered a get mekusher. And the point being that it takes quite a while to put together such a get, and in such a while the kohen will calm down and reconsider getting divorced. Ask the Mefarshim, going back to the first thing we learned in today's shir, that according to Beis Shammai, as soon as a kohen writes a get for his wife, he can't remain with her, he can never take her back. So what's the point of accomplishing with a get mekusher? So Mefarshim explained that even according to Beis Shammai, that once a kohen writes a divorce for his wife, they can't come back, they can't remarry, they can't live together, and she can never marry kohen. It's only when the get was completed, when it's finished being written. Here, we postpone the finishing of the writing of the get for the very purpose of avoiding the problem that this woman can never live with her husband or never live with another kohen. Concept of get kerich, if a man married a woman on the basis of a that she got divorced with a get kerich, in other words, if it wasn't done properly, then the dinim that we learned in the previous year, when a woman gets remarried improperly, apply. Get kerech hakom shlim lach. But anybody could be used, even someone who's typically a invalid witness, could be used as a witness on a get mekusha. Diri ben anis. Rekiva oimer eim shlim lach el kroivim haruin loyev imak mecher. Only relatives who disqualification is because their relatives, they are the only people that can be used for get for get mekusher, no one else. They is a get kerach. What is the definition of a get kerach, which we're saying is considered an improper get? Kol shekshar meruvim me'edov, when there are more folds than witnesses. Says the Mar, my time up in the get kerach. Why were Chazal so strict? Gzeirim mishum kulchem, because we're concerned that perhaps somebody wanted, as we learned earlier, that he wanted a whole group of witnesses to sign the get, and if any of them don't sign the get becomes invalidated, and therefore we have to be concerned if we see place empty that there was a witness who was identified to be a witness and didn't do what he was supposed to. Says the Gemara, get kerich hakom mishlim alav. So we had a machlokes ben Anas and Reb Kiva, who could be used for get kerich. Ben Anas said any disqualified witness. Reb Kiva said only relatives. Says the Gemara, Reb Kiva eved my tamaloi. Why is a slave not allowed? Das lemei mikosh leidus, because we shouldn't come to make the mistake of saying that a slave could be a witness. Says the Gemara, if so, karanami as lemei mikosh leidus, why do we allow a relative? We have the same concern that people are going to say that a karav could be an aid. Says the Gemara, elav et hanatama the dema asul sukli yuchsin. If we see this person was appointed to sign a get, they'll say that he must be a proper lineage, and they're going to consider him not an evid. Says the Gemara, if so, gazlan the ba yuchsin. A gazlan is also an example of a pulse of a disqualified aid, but he's certainly a full-fledged Jew. So why doesn't Rabbi Kiva agree that l'skasher that he could be used? Alam etnan, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Eima Shlimel of El Kruin Aruin Loid B'makam Acher, carve in only relatives, Gazan Loid, Ela Hevet and Etaner. What's the reason by Evid? Dos Lomay Meshach HaShachuri. If we see that we use the Evid, people are going to come to make a mistake that he must have been freed. Gazan Namim, but a Gazan also, if we see that we allow the Gazan to sign, Os Lomay Metshuva of it. People are going to say that he must have done Tshuva. We really didn't do Tshuva. Carve Ma'ik Lomayma. What's the concern by Karev? There's nothing to be concerned, because Karev kula alma yadi, the Karev who everybody knows that he's still a relative. Amrav Zera, Amrav Ashilta, Amrav Nuna Saba, Amrav Adabar Hava. Get Kerech in a bald gift, Sharev Shiva, if you have seven folds, the Eid of Shisha, and six Eidim, or Shisha Eid of Chavis, six folds and five Eidim, Chamish Eid of Arba, Arba Eid of Shloisha, Adka Machlokes Bananas Reb Kiva. That's the subject of a Machlokes between Bananas Reb Kiva, who could be used to make it whole. Av Ksharev Shnayim, the Eid of Shnayim, if you have three folds and only two kosher witnesses, Devei Hakol, Eima Shlima Alav Karev, the only one that to used is a relative. Because since, as we learned in the Mishnah, in a get kosher, we must have at least three witnesses, therefore even Ben Anas will agree that the third witness must either be a kosher aid, or that the only problem that he has is that he's a relative. Amalei Rav Zeira l'Rav Rabba Shelta. Michti. Kol shloshim mekosher kishnayim kapashadomi. So Gemara goes a step further. We just learned, and we know that every get has to have two witnesses, and those two witnesses have to be fully kosher witnesses. In a get mekosher, and we learned in our Mishnah, you have to have at least three. So three in a get mekosher are like two in a regular get. So ma hasam, just like in a regular get, karav loy, the two witnesses can't include a relative, av hochi karav nami karav, the three witnesses to get mekosher cannot include a witness. So why are we saying that the third witness could be a relative? Amalei afle didi kashli, I had the same question. Mishalti le Rav Amnuna le Rav Adabar Hava, v'amalei chanuch l'shlosh mekosher, this whole rule is not the oraisa, and that's why we're more lenient. Tanya nami hochi, get care of ksherev shiva v'ed of shisha, shisha v'ed of chamisha, chamisha v'ed of arba, Abba ve'ed of Shloisha, Adka machloikes bananas for Bekiva. That's the machloikes. Hishlamo of Evid. If somebody used a slave to complete it, bananas on a clad kosher, it's still good kosh get. Bekiva my Vlad Mamzer. Av kshar of Shloisha, if we have three folds and we only had eight of Shnayim, Divri Hakol, even Mananes will agree, ain't Meshlima Olav Elakarov. You could only disqualify the witness that could be used as a relative, no one else. Rav Yosef Masni Kosher, that Rav Yosef says that the third witness on a get Mekosher has to be a fully eligible aid. I asked him of a Tanya Karov, they could even be a relative. And says, Gemara, I'm a Rapapa, Tani Kosher. And only a kosher aid could be the third aid. I'm Rav Yochanan. Even that we're allowing a relative to sign such a get, only one relative may sign. Aval trei loy. You can never have two. Dem also kiyumi betrei krayvim v'chat kosher. Because we know that this get needs three witnesses. So if someone's going to come to confirm the get, they may use three witnesses, two relatives, and one regular aid, one kosher aid, but that's not good because you have to have a minimum of two kosher aid. Amar of Ashi, Masnis and Damidek, and we can prove that from our Mishnah. The Kamadali Vatani Chad Chad. The Mishnah kept on speaking, the Brisa kept on speaking about seven folds, six folds, with always one witness. Seven folds with six witnesses. Six folds with five witnesses. Why don't we ever speak about them being short two witnesses to teach us that we want to learn that non-kosher witnesses can be used, but you can never use more than one non-kosher witness. Amar Abaya, Shmamino, now we could understand that High Kar, when we're using this disqualified witness, Chosim, he could sign anywhere. In Bebe'oi, Be'metchila, Be'me'ensu, Be'me'soif. He could sign anywhere in the order. Memai, Midlai Kavala Makam. The Mishnah did not tell us a specific position where the relative signs. Because if the halacha word that he has to sign in a specific place, the Mishnah should have said so. Continues Abayin saying, "Vishmamino, we call Tanasa Mikaminin." We could, whenever we have a group of three witnesses, we take that group for labinim ritzufim, and we do not need them to be consecutive signatures. These akadatak binim ritzufim, if you're going to say that they have to be consecutive, likvalei mokim lahai karbet chila, over emtza b'soif. then we could always put the relative in a specific place, and we know that the relative is always number one. So that's why we keep on having sets of three witnesses, and the relative we'll know is always Mr. Number One, and therefore two and three we know will not be relatives, and we could be Mekayim the Shtar with more than, we could have more than one relative sign. We'll just know that the first witness is always, we're going to have to be assuming, is a relative. Kassel Kameder of Ami, Amalei, Tsei V'Hashlem Alav Menashuk. The Gemara comes to teach us that Ben Anas said that there was a brice that corroborates the opinion of Ben Anas, and said that you could even use a Eved to be the aid on a get Mekusher. The opinion of Ben Anas, not like Rabbi Kiva, who says that the only non-kosher relative that can be used is a karf.